Well, Barry, you've done Ditchling Beacon. Where else do you like to ride around the southeast? And if you're trying to get out of London, I mean, there's Richmond Park to begin with.
There's Richmond Park, yeah,
which is start of
which
a 10.
Is which is fine. That's the start of a 10, and a lot of people just go there Saturday mornings. And there's always a good bunch of cyclists going around, both on the roads and on the dirt track, which is great for families. I prefer to get out though a bit. I love the canals. I love the Lee Valley. We do lots of canal rides, and often it's surprisingly easy from say Southwark and then on to Greenwich and then out of London east. Into Kent,
I think
into Gravesend.
Kent is the best area roundabout. If you take the train about an hour out to sort of Headcorn or Roberts Bridge or around there, there's some really good rides.
Yeah, and we did a lovely ride the other day. We met some of us cycled to Gravesend, and we met people off the train in Gravesend and rode around the Hoop Peninsula in the Isle of Grain. And you've really got the Thames Marshes down there. Lots of birds, lots of open skies, very little traffic, really nice pubs. And it's not sort of pubs that get dominated by families at weekend when everyone piles out into Sussex and fills the pubs up. This is real Kent and Essex countryside, and it's lovely. And I love the rivers and the skies. Going out west along the Thames is lovely. Going north up the Lee Valley is fantastic. Going south down the Wandle, you can go all different ways. Greenwich is a great place, for example, to start rides from, because you can go all four different ways. But increasingly, I get tempted east. I love Kent and I love the coast out there.
And there's some hills down there.
Some hills down there too. All the flatlands of Suffolk, which is fantastic. But I mustn't forget Sussex, because we do a lot of rides during the year. Not the biggie London to Brighton, because I think that's got too crowded for me. But it's still a good sort of entry-level ride, as it were, for distances. But just to get down to Kent and Sussex as well is great. And still use the trains. Check with the train companies, but don't believe all the propaganda. All the trains have really messed cyclists about for the last few years, but you can still get your bike on most trains. It's worth trying. If you have to pay £1 or two for the fare, then I wouldn't bother, but do try and get your bike on the train, and it's not as difficult as it sounds. It's much, much easier.
And you've got a ride this week as part of the Southwark Cyclists Bike Week events.
We've got 15 rides this week,
but you've got a ride particularly going out of town. You've got a lot of town rides, but you've got a ride that's going out on Wednesday night, isn't it?
Wednesday night is a big one. It's led by a woman called Karen, who's a really excellent cyclist, and it's going into the South Downs. It's a big 45 miler, and that's most of our events in Bike Week are sort of really accessible. They're aimed to draw people into cycling. This one's for those of us who just want to blast Wednesday night and to get away from all the family cycling for a bit. It's the only ride this week where there'll be no mercy. We won't wait for anybody, so you're on your own.
And what if you're not fancying that, what other rides are there that you would recommend?
Oh, there's loads. I mean, tonight we're going to Putney and back. Tomorrow night we're doing the Southwark border. Wednesday night, if you don't want to do Karen's Monster, there's the antidote to that along the canals. Saturday I'm doing my Locks Docks ride, which is a big tour around Docklands. Wednesday, don't forget the Globe Breakfast. And then don't forget Midsummer Madness, which is outside Bike Week, but it's the one that I'm really looking forward to.
And how can people find out about all these rides? Because there's the Bike Week website, and so all your events and all the other events are listed on that, aren't
there? There's hundreds of events. I mean, the good thing about London at the moment is, as someone said to me on Saturday, if you do a quick web search, there are rides every day. Loads of groups doing loads of rides. I'm plugging Southwark Cyclists because, you know, that's what I am, obviously. But southwarkcyclists.org.uk lists not only the 15 events we're doing in Bike Week, but lists two or three rides a week that we do all year round. You know, even on 25/12 we ride, so that's great. Great.
Well, let's get back to Bike Fest in the Square and some of the people who were there yesterday.
Oh, it's a great event. I mean, it's good to see everyone getting on their bikes and people trying to promote bikes, and I'm quite impressed by how many young people have been here today.
We've got the opera going on here.
Yeah.
I mean, this is pretty surreal.
It's quite funny, and some great singing going on and nice little formations of bike riding. And I got one of my riders, Keith. He's actually playing a little part as well as the cycling paramedic.
All right. Are you due on stage in a minute, Keith?
Keith,
you got a moment for a chat?
Oh yeah, he's in the ears, just waiting to pop in and do his
backstage.
Bit. Yeah, backstage.
So how many bike paramedics do you have in London now?
We've got 14 bikes and we've got about 16 riders. So that involves West End of London, any sort of big event to happen, and also Heathrow Airport.
And what's the advantage of being being on a bike compared to being in an ambulance?
In a small area, we can get there quite quickly. As well as getting there quickly, like Sean's working on the operational bike at the moment. He's managed to cancel like 3 ambulances on the trot, which means he's able to deal with those patients on their own and then cancel the ambulance crew. Here's my rider, he's off.
So he's gone onto the stage.
Yeah.
Oh, look.
he's attending a mock accident. So what he'll do now is, as a little reenactment, he'll attend the patient and deal with the patient on his own without calling a frontline vehicle, as in an ambulance.
So what kind of kit are they carrying in the back there?
He's got a defibrillator, oxygen, some pain relieving gas and bandages and dressings, and a certain level of drugs to actually administer to different sort of clinical conditions. Hopefully this patient will walk away and cheers. After
she looks like a drip there, or some oxygen.
It's a little bit of oxygen, and I think they might have a little bit of a collision here with some other people, but yeah, and they're away. She's got some oxygen on and she'll be fine.
Fantastic, well, I'll let you get back to the opera.
Okay, thanks so much.
Well, there are about 8 people cycling around a small ring, all wearing what look like Norse hats with horns on, cycling round and round. One of them is brandishing a sword. The others have got shields, axes. We're told that this is the grand finale. Looking fella has just climbed aboard a bicycle taxi. And there's a little bit of congestion on the stage. There's too many bikes on the stage. Two singers have just climbed on board the bicycle chariot and are being paraded around the stage. Followed by a procession of people with horned helmets and swords.
Mostly it's Wanderers Cycling Campaign who have come up with a remarkably daft idea to do the ring cycle, emphasising the health benefits of cycling. So apart from some just commuter cyclists, nothing sort of fancy or particularly technical, cycling around, trying to obviously have some fun, basically.
And how long have you been at it? We just caught the last 10 minutes.
It was a sort of 20-minute production at most, or at best.
So a very condensed version.
Very condensed, very brief. As I say, just a bit of fun, cycling around in a sort of moderately choreographed circle with some rather excellent singers from English National Opera School in Wandsworth. They hopefully brought the talent to the affair. And
a chance of a quick word with the stars of the show.
You could ask.
And what's the idea about coming to Bikefest?
I think probably to prove that you can sing live and ride your bike at the same time.
Absolutely,
which we proved
right.
Today.
So how did you prove that today? Because you were cycling. You were on.
We were on a stationary bike.
You're on an exercise bike.
Absolutely.
Back there.
But we were sort of exercising and singing, so it sort of doubly benefits for your body, I'd say.
And how does that? I mean, how does that present a challenge as a singer to be actually on a bicycle at the same time as trying to sing?
Well, breath is a very important part of singing, and obviously if you're cycling very hard, then you get slightly out of breath, so it's a challenge to keep the two going together.
Yeah, and are you pleased with the response of the audience?
Very.
Yes, I think so. Quite a lot of people crowded around, so I think they enjoyed the Toreador song. And the duet,
they sang along and applauded.
And the cyclists were excellent as well.
Which is great. Mm.
And are you going to be coming on later, or is that the final show today?
Back on at 4 o'clock. 4 o'clock.
Oh, well, we'll come and try and get the whole show at 4 o'clock.
Fantastic.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It looks like Bike Doctor is the most popular of all the stands at Bike Fest. Is that because loads of people have got broken bikes, or what is it that you're doing here?
Right, well, we actually started our Transport for London and Evans Cycles campaign last weekend at Greenwich Park, and we had such an inundated response to all our flyer postering and obviously radio. I'm sure you did some advertising for us. So what we've done is recalled all those people to come back to Trafalgar Square today, and we've been jam-packed ever since 1 o'clock. We finish at 5 today, but we're trying to see everybody that's in the lineup, whether it's just small brakes and levers control, just to make sure that's all right, and just regular bikes.
So what kind of service are you offering?
Basically, it's a quick once-over, check that the vital things like brakes, gears, and all that works properly. If people are bringing along some old-fashioned bikes, maybe they haven't used it for several years, what we're doing is giving them an updated system, what they can put on their original bike, or maybe if it's really worse for wear, encouraging them to buy a brand new one.
And what do you think are the most common complaints with these bikes people bringing in? Ooh. Things that are badly adjusted or things that need fixing?
Well, it's down to the, to be honest, the best people to speak to on that note would be the mechanics.
So this is what I'd describe as a real old beater. What do you reckon?
Yeah, absolutely. It works fine, it's a nice solid brake. It just maybe needs to be a brand new bike. To
and what have you fixed up today?
Actually, not that much on it, because most of the things are completely rusted solid. But it just tightened things up a bit, and just to make sure it's serviceable. And
so it will go, and it will be more or less safe.
Yes, absolutely, definitely safe.
Have you brought a bike in today?
Yes.
Which is your bike?
In a corner.
In the corner, the Rock Hopper.
Yes.
And what's happening over there? Have you got two people working on it?
Yes. To people for my bike.
Right. And was it going before you brought it in, or was it not going?
No, it's okay. The people work very hard to work.
So what seems to be the problem, Doctor?
Well, there's a few problems with this bike. We've replaced the cables, and we've also just give the gears a quick tune up, and we're just sorting out about wheel. We've just got a small buckle in it.
Right. And what are the most common problems that people are bringing in today?
I would say gears, mainly.
Is that the index gears?
Yeah, the index gears.
All out of alignment and all that.
Yeah, exactly, out of alignment, and they need a bit of adjusting.
So is it time, are you going to be advocating a return to friction gears? Or do you think indexing is actually quite good, because it brings in more money for bike repair companies?
Well, I don't know. I mean, there is a new trend coming in where the gear's all installed inside the actual wheel itself, and that's becoming quite popular.
Cause the roll-off.
Yeah, the roll-off, that's it. And that is proving to be popular. Just like to get dirt and muck into them, and that seems to be the main problem.
So, yeah, how do you keep your gears working well? What's the tips?
Really, it's regular maintenance. You need to make sure the cables haven't stretched, so you've got the right cable length. You need to make sure that it's lubricated properly with oil and proper grease, and make sure that the actual cables can go through the outer sheath, because that's a problem that gets stuck with mud and water.
Now, is there anybody truing a wheel? Because that's what I'd like to
There was, but like he's just finished.
The secret
handing me back the
secret art of wheel truing needs to be revealed on the bike show.
Yeah. I mean, it's not as difficult as people think. You know, it's a case of just sort of doing a small amount at a time, because if you go too mad, you can very easily send it out a true in a different direction.
And do you do it kind of tuning fork style, listening to the sound of every spoke?
No, I mean, you can do, if you've got good hearing or whatever. But no, it's more about, alignment with the brakes. Make sure that, a little bit of time, you just move a small amount of the spokes, and that just brings the wheel back into true.
And you're here obviously doing a really roaring service, roaring trade, although you're not charging for anything, so it's a free service. Where else are you going to be during Bike Week?
We're going to Urban Escapes at Lee Valley Park, We're going. That's next weekend. And we're also going to Clapham Common in July, and Lambeth, I think, is the other one that we're going to. So, Lambeth Country Fair. Yeah, I think that's in July as well. Yeah. So, and of course, last week we were at Greenwich.
Well, I've managed to track down Nick Harvey, who's the national coordinator of Bike Week. What, how do you think Bike Fest is going today?
I think it's brilliant. It's nice to see so many new faces here, people who are obviously considering cycling for the first time. Obviously a good number of tourists as well, probably wondering what's going on here in Trafalgar Square.
And what's the idea of Bike Week itself?
The main idea of Bike Week is to get more people cycling more often. And it's been our mission to do that since Bike Week was started. The first Bike Week was held in 1923. And it's grown like topsy since then, particularly in the last 4 or 5 years.
And what kind of events have you got going on in London?
In London, there are more than 250 events registered on our website. People can search for those using their local postcode. And they range from rides that are run by clubs, but on this week are open to non-members, to commuter breakfast gatherings, where free breakfasts are provided by their employers. Obviously, this is our largest event here, Bikefest in the Square. But we will see another 250-odd events now for the remainder of the week, up until the 19th of June.
And any particular favourites that you're looking forward to?
Well, the Parliamentary Bike Ride, which is obviously an invitation-only event for MPs and Lords, takes place on Tuesday morning. They have a light breakfast and then a symbolic bike-to-work ride to the Palace of Westminster. That's always good fun, and we're hoping that there'll be 70 or so MPs and peers there this year.
Anything else? Are you going to be getting out on a tour or a city ride?
Well, Southwark Cyclists, a group within the London Cycling Campaign, have a breakfast at the Globe Theatre on Wednesday morning. And I'm looking forward to that because that will involve cycling around parts of South London, which will be great.
And so how can people find out about what's going on in Bike Week?
The best way is to, if you have internet access, look on our website, which is www.bikeweek.org.uk, and search for events. You can either find all of the events in Greater London, or you can search using your postcode, and that will reveal to you details of events which are open to the public. Most of them are free, and you can find out what's available for the remainder of the week.
And if you've not got internet, have you got publications in the libraries or anything like that?
No, we've got so many events now, over 2,000 across the whole of UK, we can't ever print a list of those. So what we offer people is a telephone number to call, which is 01 243 527 444.
Sixth Ward from New Orleans, and I wish they'd been at Bike Fest because they are absolutely fantastic kind of parade, street jazz, Mardi Gras band. But they are playing on Tuesday, tomorrow night, Tuesday night, at the 100 Club on Oxford Street. And the reason that I'm mentioning this is completely flagrant is because I'm DJing for them before and in between their sets. So down at the 100 Club on Oxford Street, Sixth Ward, I guess doors open at 8, and it's £10 to get in, and it's a fantastic night. And come and say hi if you heard about this on the bike show. I'd love to hear from you. Barry, what else have you got going on in Bike Week?
Ooh. Tonight, Putney, the Border Ride Tuesday, Big Docklands Ride Saturday. Sunday, we're quietening down with the Treasure Hunt, which I was doing the clues for yesterday. And after the Treasure Hunt, we're riding to a big South East London cyclist gathering in Greenwich Park.
I mean, the great thing about all your rides is that they all start at the Southwark Needle.
Yeah, they do.
So it's get the time and the day, and it's always going to start at the Southwark Needle.
But where the hell's the Southwark Needle? That's on the south end of London Bridge,
the
corner of Tooley Street. You can't miss. Everyone says, where's Southwark? They stand underneath Southwark Needle and say, where is it? And it's there. It's one of these landmarks that no one ever notices until you've seen it, and then you think,
it's the great big spiky thing at the south side of London Bridge.
It's a spike.
Well, some of the other rides that are going on Saturday, 18th of June, is the Historic Buildings of Hackney Tour, which is being organised by Hackney Cyclists, and that's from 1 until 7. And then after going around seeing some historical buildings, you're invited to a free outdoor buffet laid on by Hackney Cyclists in one of the many beautiful open spaces of their lovely borough. On Tuesday the 14th of June, the Islington cyclists are having their breakfast, which is on City Road at the junction with Goswell Road and Colebrook Row. And that's Andrew Cornwell, Islington Cyclists Action Group. The Bike Islington film screening is on Sunday the 19th of June from 11 till 5 at Islington Green. And also at Chapel Market, I think on the same day, is the Rinky Dink sound system, which is the bicycle-powered sound system we've featured on the show a couple of times. They're absolutely fantastic. Either playing music or playing records, all powered by two people cycling on a bicycle-powered generator. The Camden cyclists are having their cyclist breakfast on Wednesday the 15th of June outside the British Library from 8 till 10. That's a bit of competition for your Globe event, but you know, there's enough to go around. And then one of my favourites is at 7 o'clock tonight, Monday the 13th of June, is a John Adams, Professor John Adams of University College London, is speaking on the management of road safety, risk compensation versus the obedient automaton theory of human behaviour. Drinks and snacks will be provided. That's at the Castlehaven Community Centre, Hawley Road, Camden, London, NW1, 7:30. But all of these, you know, events during Bike Week are great. But the greatest of all bike rides is the Dunwich Dynamo.
Oh, definitely. Absolutely. Without a doubt. Yeah. 23rd of July.
And tell us a bit more about the Dunwich Dynamo. I mean, Barry ought to blow his own trumpet because he's one of the people who's kind of brought it back from the brink. I mean, it's this fantastic night ride. I went on it first time last year, and we're going to play out with some of the sounds from that ride. But essentially, it's a night ride to the coast.
It's an unsupported night ride.
120 miles
overnight. It leaves the pub on the park in Hackney, London Fields, essentially Martello Street. Leaves that pub about 9 o'clock, and I like the Jeremy Della bats from a cave. Suddenly, there's a momentum, and everyone's gone.
But about 300 people.
About 300, biggest ever last year. In fact, about 400 last year. Seems to be getting bigger and bigger. There are coaches back. We lifted 250 people back last year. It's not organised, but actually to organise all those coaches, there is a bit of organisation. It's a wonderful ride, 120 miles. There's a wonderful. We go to Dunwich Beach, and there's not much at Dunwich Beach except the sea, which you just leap into straight away and cleanse. It just washes the whole 120 miles away. There's a stop halfway. We've got a village hall open about halfway out, and most people pack into that about 3 a.m. for really basic, good vegetarian, vegan food, and everyone sort of relaxes and rides off into the sunrise, and that's fantastic.
Well, I'll put all the information about that on the Bike Show weblog, which is www.bikeshow.blogspot.com. And that's where you can listen to all the bike shows in real audio and MP3 format. And for the last 15 minutes, these are some sounds from last year's Dunwich Dynamo. And I started off my ride and my meeting at the pub on the park by asking my friend William, also a Bike Show regular, how he was feeling about the ride.
A bit nervous actually, seems like an awfully long way, but at least there's lots of people doing it, so I don't think we'll be the slowest. You got your swimming trunks? Sure have. Can't wait to get in that sea. I think it's going to be really warm as well tonight, which is I'm going to love.
Well, the pub on the park is emptying from about 300 cyclists down to about, what is it, about 100 now. We ought to probably head on, otherwise we're going to be lost. Still very much being controlled by the traffic lights. I'm in the bus lane. There's a big stream of flashing red lights ahead of me, which is where everybody else is. I fall a bit behind with a technical mini disc issue. So definitely some urban sounds still going on. We're not yet out of the jungle. Now there's an Esso station. I was going to pick up some more batteries and some flapjacks. Not sure what they got there. Some people did stop. Police speed check on the left. No danger with me. Just crossing over the North Circular, which I guess marks a Rubicon of some kind. Ahead of me is a fleet of recumbents. I'll try and ask them how they're doing.
we've just pulled in to Great Walding Field, the small village where the lovely people here are putting on some refreshments to keep us going at the halfway point. It's about 2 a.m, and I'm going to ask a few people sitting inside how they're feeling.
So how's the ride been?
It's been okay. I mean, like, for the first 15, 20, 30 miles, you're really just getting warmed up, really. And it's, you're just entering into the whole spirit of it, you know, and it's all new and it's all good fun. And then come 40 miles, it starts to bite, and the reality of what you're doing starts to kick in, and the whole group's kind of become really sort of elongated, and you just find these little sort of pockets of people riding over the hills and the red lights in front and all the rest of it.
Did you find yourself on your own much, or were you always with other people?
No, invariably with other people. And then I think one of the strangest kind of things, I can't say that I'm a great orator, you know.
So how's the ride been?
It's been okay. I mean, like, for the first 15, 20, 30 miles, you're really just getting warmed up, really. And it's, you're just entering into the whole spirit of it, you know, and it's all new and it's all good fun. And then come 40 miles, it starts to bite, and the reality of what you're doing starts to kick in, and the whole group's kind of become really sort of elongated, and you just find these little sort of pockets of people riding over the hills and the red lights in front and all the rest of it.
Did you find yourself on your own much, or were you always with other people?
No, invariably with other people. And then I think one of the strangest kind of things that I've found is that you pass the same person 3 or 4 times and you wonder how that's come about, you know what I mean? You pass somebody,
how did they get
half an
back,
hour later you pass them again, and you think, well, I don't recall passing them, you know what I mean? But no, yes, I mean, it just varies. Yeah, I mean,
it's good to have a stop for a bite to eat here.
Yeah, it is. Very much so, yeah.
It's nice of them to put it all
I'm just hoping
well.
I can get up at the moment, you know. I'm just sort of slowly ploughing my way through this plate of beans and salad and stuff. And I feel that I could sit here for quite some time and just watch people casually coming in, and I could be the last to leave. Yeah, but it's good, you know. And I think psychologically, sort of halfway, and you're looking now to the second half, hopefully it's going to be a bit easier. The reality is it'll probably be twice as painful. When you get to the beach, you just sort of literally flop down and fall over, you know. I think that's...
So is this your first time doing the ride?
No, this is my 3rd year. But I don't think I'm going to do it again after this year, because I always say I'm going to do some serious training and I never get round to it. So I always find it much harder than I really should.
And so, high points and low points of the 60 miles so far?
High point is I'm actually on a road bike this year, whereas my last 2 years I've been on my tourer, and so I am flying along a lot faster and it's a lot easier, and I'm carrying less stuff, so I actually am finding it a lot easier than I thought, so that's not so bad. High point is the weather's good and I've not actually had to need anything. Seeing all your friends, really. Yeah, chatting as you go.
And was there any point where you just felt really bad?
There was a very short time when I was on an open stretch of road and I'd lost all my friends, and I couldn't see any LEDs in front of me, and I couldn't see anything behind me either, so I really thought I'd missed a turning. I started to panic.
And then you saw one of the candles.
But then someone came up alongside me and we panicked together. Right. And we were fine. I mean, it wasn't bad.
And how about the candles?
Candles?
In the jam jars. You've not been seeing those?
A couple of them, but...
I've seen about 10.
I haven't noticed that many.
I was on my own for quite a lot of the way.
Oh, okay. I haven't been on my own that much.
And they just appear out of nowhere in the dark.
It does help to have them and just to get you on
the... I wonder who puts them there. I think it's this candle fairy that comes out. It's beautiful.
I'm surprised there aren't more entrepreneurial people out there sort of selling food en route. They could make a fortune, really. Bananas en route. They all get so mushy. In your back pocket or in your pannier or whatever.
Well, this is great, isn't it, in here?
It's your first time.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's really nice of the folks here to put
normally I get here later, and so by the time I leave, it's about, from here, it's about 4 o'clock, and it's usually getting light by then. But we're a lot earlier this year, and also the dry is later on in the month, so it won't be getting light now for another hour and a half. So, and it, usually when you come out, it just feels very different when you've had a meal and come out and it's starting to get light, and it just, you're just, it's a different ride, so you feel more inspired. You go out now and it'll be dark and it'll be a bit demotivating for sure.
So what's the strategy to get through that tough hour and a half?
Knowing that we're more than halfway, this stop is more than halfway, just slightly. It's enough of a difference to make a difference. So it's that sort of just dealing with it in bite-sized chunks, really. Yeah.
Well, here we are. It's Dunwich Beach. We've made it. There's people lying around waiting for the cafe to open. There's a queue formed. People with bacon, eggs and chips on their minds. I'm going to get in the queue, get my order in, and see how people are doing. So how was your ride?
Very good.
And how's your breakfast going to be?
Even better.
What are you visualising now?
Bacon, lots of it. It's been keeping me going since we stopped in the middle of the night for pea curry.
Any dark moments along the way?
Most of it was dark.
Particularly dark moments of the soul?
It was toughest the first half, actually, I thought. And after we did get some food and things, and it did start to get light, I thought the second half was easier. Probably it was slower as well. But, it's not nice, the bit where it's totally pitch black and you've not stopped and you wonder where you're going to go and when it's going to end, but all worthwhile in the end.
Can we have another pot for all, please? Do you want to do a double pot?
No, double pot, we'll share.
Yeah.
Two
for breakfast.
Yeah, two, same, yeah.
It's right, then we'll put that back through again then.
It's rejecting me. It doesn't want to give me a full breakfast.
No, it doesn't, does it?
Oh no.
That's it, £10.
Thank you.
And the broccoli tomatoes. Beans or tomatoes?
Beans, please.
Beans, please.
And your name is?
William.
This is still your life.
So it's a pretty grey morning here. But you've been in the water.
Yes, I went in and I swam.
And did you leave your bike just like sort of falling onto the onto the dunes, and
they just it down.
And then ran in? Or was
well,
it a bit
I
more?
I must admit, I did put on my swimmers because I wanted to be able to change into something warm afterwards. But it was definitely. I came down, had one look, and then decided that it was definitely something I had to do.
It looks lovely. Like you're in the definite minority. Of dynamo riders who've not braved, who've gone for the full English breakfast, but have not gone for the full English swim.
I think that they're under the misapprehension that it's cold, and it's just not.
It looks incredibly cold.
And I swear, it's beautiful. And I'm from Australia. I mean, I swim in Australian seas, but this is actually quite warm.
So how many seconds, approximately, did you swim for?
I did laps. Seriously. I did a breaststroke that way and a breaststroke that way and a breaststroke back again and then...
And how was the rest of your ride?
It was really nice, yeah. I mean, when we stopped for food, I was really crashing, but after that, it's got better and better.
The rice and beans picked you up a bit?
Yeah, I think the rice and beans probably did. All the hours sitting down, I'm not sure which, but...
And yeah. Any particular highlights?
I think the last 20 miles was lovely. It was just really... Really
once
pretty.
The sun came up.
Yeah, I was just cycling on my own and really enjoying wandering along. Yeah.
Will you do it again next year?
Oh, probably. I think so.
Well, that was recollections from last year's Dunwich Dynamo. This year's Dunwich Dynamo is on the 23rd of July. You've been listening to The Bike Show on Resonance 104.4 FM, a special 1 hour and a half edition with me, Jack Thurston, and joining me in the studio, Barry Mason from Southwark Cyclists. Thanks for coming in, Barry.
That's a pleasure. I really enjoyed it. And see you around this week on many of your rides and throughout the summer, I hope. Well, next up is a repeat of The Truth About Markets from 11th of June. And until the next time on The Bike Show, it's me, Jack Thurston, saying goodbye and chapeau.